I don't know where he disappears to. I never look up to see where he goes. I guess it's my turn. Well, good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Certainly am appreciative of our veterans, those of you who are here this morning that lived to tell your experience, and also thankful for those, as was presented on the slide screen this morning, those who gave the ultimate sacrifice and did not make it home alive, but either is buried on foreign soil, buried at sea, or came back draped in a flag. And we're here this morning because they fought and sacrificed their life for us. And I am so thankful for men that were willing to do that. I read scrolling through Facebook this morning and saw a picture, and it said in World War II and Korean and even the Vietnam War, it said teenage boys were lying about their age in order to sign up to fight for their country, and now they're offended by cartoons. And that speaks volumes to where we're at as a nation. And it's unfortunate, but it's where we're at. But as we're going to see this morning, as we look through the scripture and as we talk this morning, and Dean mentioned in Sunday school class, they talked about God identifying himself in different ways. And it was so awesome to hear him say the God of peace, because that is what we're going to talk about this morning. And so I just confirmed in my heart that God had led me to the place that he wanted us to go. Don't forget that this evening is a quick announcement here, a quick commercial. Don't forget this evening is the Memorial Day picnic. Thanks, Ann. You derailed earlier, but you keep me on the track. Mine's going 1,000 different directions this morning. He announced what time to be here to help set up. 2:30? All right. Because I went out to get a drink when he said that, and I missed it. So I'm glad you were listening. And we're going to be brief this morning, because I know that a lot of us are going to be back here early this afternoon. Our family has been tasked to provide some music this evening, and we're looking forward to that. I've enlisted the help of a couple of others to do that as well this evening. So come, anticipating that, looking forward to that. I don't know what all we'll do, since it's outside and not in church. Gives us a chance to kind of unwind a little bit and have some fun with it. So I don't know who. The Beatles may be here. You never know who might show up tonight. It might be a little bit of everything. There might be a little John Cougar show up. Who knows who might show up tonight and help with the music in song. So we'll just see what happens. And of course we have a worship set that we'd like to play tonight too. So it's going to be fun. Come and enjoy the evening with us this evening. And like I said, we're going to hurry, because I know some of you are going to go home and make no-bakes cookies, and I want to have time for those to set up and be perfect for you, just in case anybody was wondering what to bring. All right? This morning, if you will, if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verses 19 and 20 as a text. So if you have your Bibles, or you have an electronic device, something you can look up, Acts chapter 3. Verse 19, 20. If you'll stand, we'll read these two verses, please. A little preface to this story. Peter and John have just healed a lame man that was brought every day to the gate of Bethesda, and he wasn't able to take care of himself. And so Peter and John see this man laying there, and they have just healed him, and it causes a little bit of an uproar in the community. As usually things that God does usually does cause an uproar. And so we're looking here at verse 19, verse 20, and let's start at 17. Let's start there. And now, brothers, I know that you did it in ignorance. He's talking about them. Peter is talking about them in Jesus' crucifixion here. And he's not berating them. He's just saying, look, I know why you did what you did. And so he says in verse 17, "And now, brothers, I know that you did it in ignorance, just as your leaders did also. But what God predicted through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer, he fulfilled in this way." Verse 17, "Therefore, repent and turn back, so that your sins may be wiped out, and that the seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah." I want to focus this morning on this one part that says that the seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity this morning that Pastor Mike has entrusted this time this morning to me, and I pray that you would help me to speak what's on my heart, what has been given to me this morning, God, that you would be very real to us in the short amount of time that we have this morning. I give you praise for it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Speaking this morning about a season of refreshing, or just having peace in our lives. This last month and a half in our home has been quite interesting, to say the least. There's some things going on, and I'm sure 99% of you in the room know most of the things that we have been through as a family. Not going to get into all the details this morning, but everything from just heartbreak to illness and injury, and now, as Miss Ann reminded this morning, our great niece is facing surgery, just a small infant child, and just a lot of tumultuous things happening. And I'm sure that if we went around this room this morning and started with Miss Terry and Miss Dawn and ended up over here with Ray Dawn and put everybody in the middle and we all just listed our sorrows this morning, we would probably be here for a week if we just listed out all the things that are troubling us in our lives right now. It's not just in our personal lives, but we look around and we see the condition of our world. We see the condition of our country. And it just seems impossible for there to be peace. How can we possibly, the economy, you know, is twisting and turning, and financial futures are worried. The price of lumber, I saw a guy the other day said he was going to build a birdhouse and the bank turned down his loan. I mean, the price of lumber is through the roof, so to speak. Through the roof, never mind. And it's just a difficult time. We just find ourselves, and it seems like peace is the farthest thing from our minds right now. It's just everybody's uptight. Everybody seems to be uptight. And I was just thinking about this morning as I was reading through. I was kind of struggling last night, and I didn't know what direction to go, and I'm just flipping through the Bible and just reading passages and reading some things, and this just hit me like a ton of bricks. "Therefore, repent and turn back, that your sins may be wiped out, that the season of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And I thought, how can I get myself, how can David Smith get himself in a place where he can be in a season of refreshing from the Lord? Lord, I need a season. You know, just the other night, the neighbor guy, the farmer that farms the field behind us, and had kind of went through and looked, and you know, a lot of guys planted really early. And then the rain just kind of shut off there for a little bit. I mean, it's been kind of dry. You go down far enough and you'll find moisture, but you know, those seedlings are the corn seed, and when they plant that seed, it's not super, super deep, and those roots are going down, and it just seemed like it was struggling. And here, the last couple of days, we had that rain, even though it kind of cooled off a little bit. I looked out this morning in the bean rows as I was looking out the window of the house, looking into the neighbor's field there, and that corn just shot up in this rain, and is looking nice, and it's starting to to green up, and how that rain came at just the right time and was so refreshing to that. And I began to ponder this a little bit, thinking, what is it that brings peace to my life? Number one is I believe that our peace depends on our relationship status with God. I believe that our peace depends on our relationship status with God. Can you imagine if God had a Facebook profile? What it would look like? I scrolled through this morning just to double check to see what some of the things were that were listed. Facebook profile of the Almighty God. Employment. Ruler, overseer of all. Education. He knows it all anyway. That would be a fun one to read. His residence, you know, it says like location, where do you live, all the places you live, you know. Heaven. Oh, wow, cool, you know. Where you're from. Always has been. Always will be. Just God's Facebook profile. Relationship status. Everybody. He loves everybody. Contact info. Prayer. His word. This one was interesting. Blood donations. Sent his own son to be sacrificed through his blood for the atonement of our sins. Other names, aliases. Oh man, the Prince of Peace. Yahweh. I mean, just the Old Testament full of the names of God. It's just beautiful. Adonai, all the names that God goes by. Family members. God's profile. You know, if God had a profile on Facebook. And the reason why that came to my mind is because that thought came to my mind. Our peace depends on our relationship status with God. And I was, you know, relationship status. You know, mine says married. And it shows a picture of Jill. Hers says married. I think it shows a picture of me. I'm not sure. I haven't stalked her Facebook profile in a while. It might be the little cat in the hat because it's my profile picture. But, you know, people, we change our relationship status. You see people that do. And I was flipping through one time and this person had sent me a friend request. I was like, well, I don't know. I'm not sure I know who this is. So I clicked on their profile to see who it was. And I'm going down through and it said relationship status. It said complicated. Oh, wow, okay. I wonder what's going there. And, you know, I know some people that change their relationship status about as often as they set their clocks forward and backwards. We won't talk about that. But just, you know, that relationship there. And I thought, man, you know, what is it about our relationship? And it says right here, it says, therefore repent and turn back that your sins may be wiped out. Our peace depends on our relationship status. Number one, unrepented sin. That affects our relationship status with God. Unrepented sin. And we got to remember that there's two types of sin. There's sins of commission, things that we do that we know we ought not do, and there's sins of omission, things that we should do, but we don't. Things that God instructs us. You know, we a lot of times, especially new believers, or when you're witnessing to someone, they think, well, God's just a God of don'ts, don'ts. Do not, do not, do not, do not. Well, as believers, it kind of shifts. Yes, God tells us not to do some things, but God also tells us to do some things. God tells us to love those who are our enemies. God tells us to love those who persecute us and to repent. And I was thinking, you know, what are some unrepented things? Repent means to repent and turn. A lot of times, and I know I'm kind of scattered, but I'm trying to bring this together this morning. So just hang with me. There's a million things going through my mind. But a lot of times, new believers and many churches are guilty of this, and I want to be cautious when I say this. There's many preachers and many churches that believe in that it's okay just to admit our sinful nature. Okay? Follow me real close. I don't want to say this wrong. I don't want to confuse you. Confession, confessing that we are sinners, is part of the process. Okay? I acknowledge that I am a sinner. But Jesus taught repentance and turning from our sin. So we can say, and it's important to confess, I sin. But Jesus says to repent of our sins. A military term that we could use is about face, to be walking in sin. I confess I'm going this direction. Jesus says repent. Jesus says you have to turn away from that and follow me. That is part of having that peace with God in our lives. Unrepented sins. A second thing that we have to do in order to have this relationship of peace and of just this season of refreshing is a total and reliance on Him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all of our cares on the Lord. We can't pick and choose which ones we want to keep. And I also say this cautiously this morning, but I have experienced this in my own life. I have been guilty of doing this. There are things in my life that I wanted to keep for myself because I knew that if I gave it up to God 100%, I wouldn't have a crutch. I wouldn't have an excuse for failure. A lot of times we say, God, I want you to take this issue from my life. I want to take this issue. But there's some things sometimes we hang back and we're afraid to just completely relent of it, to give it to God. Because if we do, then that means it's out of our hands and we want to be in control. But He says to cast all of our cares, all of our burdens, all of our troubles, all of our problems, all of our issues, and we all have issues, cast all of those. And I love how the version reads it. It says, cast all of your anxiety on Him. How do we have peace? Get rid of unrepentant sin and know that our true reliance is on Him. The third thing this morning and the final thing, listen closely, our peace is not contingent on our circumstances or of those things that are around us. Let me repeat that. Our peace is not contingent on our circumstances or on those things that are around us. The world can be completely falling apart around you and you can still have peace in your life. When I was a kid, we lived upstairs of the funeral home. I know, I was weird growing up. Still am. Alright. Easy. The National Weather Service would send that little thing and we had a scanner there. Always had a scanner. Could listen to it. And you know how it sounds. The little guy, little computerized voice would come on there, and the National Weather Service in Paducah, Kentucky has initiated a tornado warning for Knox, Martin, Green, Dave. I mean, they would go through the whole list, you know. And my mom was like a springboard. She would bang straight up, and she would come through the house, and she would say, get up. We gotta go downstairs. Something, and I hope she's not watching. Is this on? Please turn off. She would gather us up and she would herd us downstairs because, for whatever reason, tornadoes always just take the top floor of the house in our mind. I don't know. And I can hear it in my mind as plain as if it is happening right now. She would wake my dad up and she would say, we've got to get downstairs. There's a storm coming. And I've heard him say it once, I've heard him say it 100 times. What's the matter? Aren't you ready to die? And he would roll over and he would go back to sleep. And she would take us downstairs and I can hear her say it as plain as day. Man, I hope she's not watching. Well, fine. If he just wants to be that way, he can just be that way. And it was just funny to me as a kid, you know, that he could just flop over and go back to sleep. And I mean, the trees outside would be whipping, and we've had some good old storms back in the day come through Shoals, and trees would be rocking back and forth, and she just thought the place was just going to just blow away, and Dad would roll over and go right back to sleep. Peace. When everything else around you is in complete turmoil, we can have peace. Our peace does not depend on others. Our peace depends on the Almighty and us. And I am so thankful for that this morning. It always just makes me wow, how can something be so powerful? I have seen pictures of tornado damage and there was one here not too long ago, another one that was on the news, and it was a house that it was down in around Birmingham. They have a lot of storms, and this like F3, F4 category tornado went through and just obliterated this neighborhood. And there was a woman and her three children maybe, and her husband. I think the dog was in this room in the center of the house, and they had a Bible that was in there with them, and it was sitting on this table, and the entire neighborhood just destroyed. Houses just collapsed on top of themselves. Debris strung for miles. The house that they were in, completely destroyed. But where they were sitting, close to that Bible, was untouched. The room actually collapsed, blew out as the storm went through, and that Bible was sitting on that table, unturned. Pages weren't even turned open. And it was sitting there. And you say, well, that's neat. That's neat. I saw it firsthand. I was on the fire department in Lawrence County, and we worked. A small tornado went through, and a house trailer was completely blown over on its side. Debris everywhere. I don't know how this happens in a storm. I don't understand the science behind the pressure. I'm sure Mr. Hudson could explain this to me in a way that would make complete perfect sense. But I can't rationalize it. A house trailer blown over on its side, and in the front yard was a little baby carriage with a toy baby doll in it and a blanket over it that was undisturbed. 10 yards behind it, the house blown over. The car flipped on its side. The garage destroyed. And when the little girls, they hollered at the little girl to come in, to get in out of the storm, and they went in some kind of a cellar. She just let go of the baby carriage and went with her parents, and it never moved from the spot. Plastic. You could probably blow it over. Never moved. Now, I don't know how that works, but it tells me that no matter what is going on in the world today, no matter what life throws our way, no matter what happens in our families, no matter even within our own household, no matter what happens, we can still have a time of peace in an otherwise chaotic world. And I am so thankful for that. There have been times that just had to just stop and just say, God, I need you right now. I need you to move in this situation. I need and words not even be able to come, not even to be able to express ourselves in those moments of desperation, but yet still feel the peace of God that comes through. I want to live my life in such a way that channel is open. I don't want there to be things in my life that prohibit that. I want to have my relationship with God in such a way that I am living in an atmosphere of His presence, an atmosphere of His peace in my life. And the reason why it's important is because not just for us, we need that in order to be healthy and to be sane and to be able to function in our life. We need God's presence in our life. But just as it's not important of what's going on around us for that to be the case in our life, there are others who are dependent upon us. And whenever someone is having an issue in their life, whenever someone's facing a moment of desperation or something tragic is going on in their life, who do they look for? Do they look for the person whose life seems to be in utter chaos and just scattered? No, they look for that constant presence. Someone who is steady and sure and has the peace of God in their life. So it's not just important for us, it's important for others. Miss Lana, would you come and play something for us this morning? This morning, and as we wind down and begin to share, I know it was probably like trying to keep up with the chessboard this morning, because, like I said, my mind just was in a million directions. But perhaps there's someone here this morning that would say, you know, I'm struggling to find that season of refreshing in my life. My life is dry and parched, and I want to just spend some time this morning, maybe just a few minutes in prayer. I would love to pray with you. There are those here this morning who would love to pray with you. And maybe you say, you know, I just need that moment of spiritual refreshing in my life. If you're here this morning and that is you, we invite you to come and stand here or kneel at these altars. Let's stand today, just a minute. Maybe the reason why we're not at peace, maybe the reason why we have that tension, we feel that turmoil in our heart, is that there is something in our life that we just need to give up. We need to just let go of and let God have complete control over that. Maybe there's an area in your life that you've been struggling with, and it's just, today is your day to just lay it down at the altar. Sometimes we don't step out because we're afraid others will think that we're some evil, awful person, or that we're not saved. That's not the case. There's not a person in this room today that would judge you for stepping out. We would only encourage you and want to pray with you and pray for you. So never let those thoughts and feelings dictate your response.